Hey, I got a question for you. What is your favorite kind of gospel? Look, everyone has a favorite ice cream, a favorite movie, a favorite band. But I want to know what your favorite gospel is. Maybe your favorite gospel is the one where, if you're a Christian, God is like a genie and he gives you everything you want if you're good. Or maybe your favorite gospel is the kind where, to really be spiritual, you have to suffer. And the more you suffer, the more spiritual you are. I got cancer 3 times. I'm super spiritual. Well, I don't know if you have a favorite gospel, but trust me, today, you're going to find out what the real gospel is all about. Wake the faith up. What the faith is happening, guys? Hope you're having an amazing day. My morning, I woke up with a Bears loss hangover. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. It's not good. We played horrible last night. I don't know. I'm not even going to go there. Anyway, reach out to me about your team at tdagiantslayer@gmail.com. Or just reach out to me with any question, insight, or comment about the podcast. Also, if you need a website, check out Tony Herman at WebSticks. His company is amazing. He's the coolest cat on the net. And Brandon LaRue, Well-Built Kettlebells. WellBuiltKettlebells.com. All these are in the notes. Please check them out. Took me a long time to type them. I'm not going to lie. So please make use of it. So we are on a 1-2 day on what is the gospel. See, we have heard what the gospel is in our own mind. We've heard it through preachers, pastors, teachers, maybe even songs on today's media. But really, what is the gospel? Yesterday, I outlined a little bit of where it really came from and the central elements of the gospel, which was justification, sanctification, and salvation. Sorry. Yes, that's that Bible college coming through. But I want to talk to you what the gospel isn't today. See, there are different gospels out there. Let's just jump right into it, shall we? There's the prosperity gospel, where if you serve God, he wants you successful and rich and healthy and good-looking. And listen, there's nothing wrong with any of that. I mean, look, I'm successful and healthy and good-looking. So, you know, no, look, the truth is it can't be the central theme because that's not the gospel. The gospel plus anything else is not the gospel. If you want to know what the gospel is, listen to yesterday's podcast. But the prosperity gospel is popular. You can catch speakers on TV and books and everything. And again, I'm not knocking people who, you know, are rich. Some people think it's you can't be rich and be a Christian. I saw a Facebook post, in fact, last week that said the reason why the church isn't given money is because they can't handle it well. Well, that sounds super spiritual, but that's not really true. So the prosperity gospel is wrong, and so is the next one, the poverty gospel. And if you're really spiritual, you'll be poor. Here's how this works out. 2 different ways. Number one, I've never been rich and not been able not to sin. I've never been poor and not been able to sin. Sinning comes easy, whether you're rich or poor or blue collar, a middleman wage, it does not matter. But if it sneaks itself into the gospel, it's wrong either way. I always laugh when people go, that guy's really spiritual. He drives a Datsun 1.4, a 1986 model, and that guy can't be spiritual at all. He drives a Mercedes. And then you come find out the guy with the Mercedes is upside down in debt, and the guy with the Datsun has $3 million in the bank because he's a miser. The next gospel is the Christless gospel. It's a self-help gospel. You know, it's like a pep talk, you know, it's like Zig Ziglar. Again, I like that. I like using stories and being positive when I preach. But unless it's based on the foundation of who Christ is, then it's not the gospel. There's the works gospel brought to you by the Catholic Church. I don't know how many Catholics I've talked to, and I said, are you going to heaven? And they say, yes. I say, how do you know? And they always start in with, well, I'm a good person. And then they list off their works. The gospel has nothing to do with works. And then they're the God is love gospel. That's where everyone is going to go to heaven. God loves everybody. He accepts you just the way you are. And so My gay cousin was born that way, and God loves him, so he's going to go to heaven. And we slept together before marriage, but God loves us, and he understands, and we loved each other, so it's okay. And, you know, we have all these different things that we think God's love is just going to cover, like it's a blanket. Yeah, God's love, but he's also holy, righteous, pure. He's judgmental. Yes, we don't like to talk about how God is judgmental. His holiness judges us. There's a book out called Nine False Gospels or something like that by Trevin Wax, written for the Gospel Coalition, which is where I took some of my notes. And I'm not going to go through all of these in detail, but they're pretty good. There's the therapeutic gospel. Sin robs us of our sense of fullness. So Christ's death proves our worth as humans and gives us power to reach our potential. There's the formalist gospel. Sin is failing to keep church rules and regulations. There's the moralist gospel. Our big problem is sin, plural, and not sin nature. The purpose of Christ's death is to give us a second chance. There's the judgmentalist gospel, where God's forgiveness does not need to come through the sacrifice of his son. There's the social club gospel, where salvation is all about finding fellowship and friendship at a church. There's the activist gospel, where the kingdom is advanced through our efforts to build a just society, and it's demonstrated by who we vote for. There's the churchless gospel. Focus of salvation is primarily on the individual. There's the mystic gospel. Salvation comes through an emotional experience. There's the quietist gospel. Salvation is about spiritual things, not secular matters. And it goes on and on. But what is the gospel? The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. It's probably the most important news any human being can ever hear. The gospel declares the only way to know God in peace, love, and joy is through the reconciling death of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. The gospel is the central message of the Holy Scriptures, and it's the true key to understanding them. The gospel identifies Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, as the Son of God, the Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity, whose incarnation, ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension fulfilled the Father's saving will. His death for our sins and his resurrection from the dead were promised way beforehand by the prophets and attested by eyewitnesses. And in God's own time and in God's own way, Jesus Christ will come back as glorious Lord and Judge of all. The gospel sets forth Jesus Christ as the living Savior, Master, life, and hope of all who put their trust in him. It tells us that the eternal destiny of all people who depend on whether they are savingly related to Jesus Christ is in and through that walk with God the Father. And might I add, the gospel is so simple that a small child can understand it, and so profound that the studies by the wisest theologians will never exhaust it. And here is Satan's strategy with the gospel: to make it the same old, same old, same old. In the book, The Screwtape Letters, it's a book written by C.S. Lewis who talks about how Satan's talking to one of his demons, and he tells his demons, well, just start telling them about the gospel. And you go, why? And Satan goes, well, keep telling them and telling them and telling them and telling them until it just becomes diluted, becomes watered down, it becomes the same old, same old. See, that's the problem with today's podcast. None of you were blown back in your seat by this great story, this cool illustration, this neat fact, this pumped up. You just need to stop for a second and go, I'm a sinner, and I need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I need his forgiveness. I don't need it to become old hat or second nature or so diluted and watered down that it doesn't hit me between the eyes. I need Jesus. I know you need Jesus. I know everybody needs Jesus. It's humbling. We are evil, wicked sinners. We don't like to talk about it, but it's the truth. There's a man in 1700s. His name was Stenberg. He was an artist. He was commissioned by a church to do a painting of Christ on the cross. He wasn't a Christian, but he was an amazing master artist. And so he's like, yep, I'll come do it. Well, after a few months of painting, he got tired and he would go out for long walks. And one day he saw this young girl named Pepita, and she was the daughter of a gypsy. Pepita was only about 14 years old, but she was young and beautiful and vivacious in a very simple way. And Stenberg said, you must come to my studio so I can draw you. So he would take time out of his day to draw her to kind of refresh and then go back to the painting of the cross. One day she walked in and she saw the painting and he was working on it. And she stood there for minutes looking at Christ on the cross until finally she said, "He must have been a very evil man to die such a terrible death." And Stenberg, without thinking, said, "Oh no, quite the contrary. He was actually perfect." And she said, "Why? Well, then why would anyone kill him?" And Stenberg, for the first time as he spoke these words, his eyes and his heart opened up. He said, "Well, he died for our sins. He was God's son, and he took our place." And Stenberg, at that moment's heart opened up to Christ, and he realized what a sinner he was. That's my prayer for you today. May you understand how powerful the gospel is, how much you need it, because of what a sinner we all are. This is Garth Heckman. Thanks for rating the podcast, sharing the podcast, and until tomorrow, keep slaying giants.